you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, the last Friday in this first month of this new year into this new decade. It's the 31st, 2020. Welcome, Pastor Jason Schiffo.
It's me.
Oh, let me do a quick little update. If you've heard any of the radio announcements the last day or two, come Tuesday, the big announcement, part two. Can't wait to share some more details. I've been talking about how God's been at work in and through this radio ministry these many, many years, almost 25 years. And almost exactly 2 months ago, we announced the big announcement that we were going to be acquiring 15 stations into our family of stations and how that was going to work. And we put a lot of prayer into that, a lot of meetings. So that's been moving forward. Well, I'll be able to give some specifics and where we stand and how God is pulling things together on Tuesday. And I'll have a special guest, Lord willing, Phil Shepherd, who is the manager of operations, I believe, for the Moody Broadcasting Network, working with Moody for over 30 years, recently retired, and he's going to come down and I'll get to share some exciting things about him joining our team. He's been a board member for a few years, but a new role that he'll be taking on, and so he'll help me navigate through the announcement we'll be making on Tuesday. So be sure to tune in, whether it's at 7:32 a.m. or the re-airing at 7:32 p.m. That's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. But on Testimony Tuesday, Phil Shepherd, Lord willing, will be the guest. And then later today, Jason, Dave and Chris Sender are going to come in, and we're going to talk through a trip that they're going to help host. I think I'll be a part of. We're still waiting to see if it'll fit into the schedule. But September 27th through October 2nd, we'll be heading to Pennsylvania, traveling for 5 to 6 days, visiting a number of tourist sites, seeing a lot of the American history, and it'll be a fun time to gather together. They helped host the trip to Washington, D.C. this past year, and everyone loved it. We filled a bus load, and it was an enjoyable trip, and so I know a number of the people that were on that trip want to go on this because we talked about it, but I'll hear more and then be giving you some updates this next week. Lord willing, Roger Weisgarver is going to be a part of Memorization Monday, so we'll have more to say about that, and then, as I mentioned, Testimony Tuesday will be Phil Shepherd. So, exciting times here at the Great News Radio Center, so... Hey, we've been talking a lot about Hebrews the last few times you've been in, but I see the Bible is open to Philippians.
It is open to Philippians. You know, there's a passage that I was reading just today, and I really love it. And with a little bit of background, I think there's some richness in it. But in Philippians chapter 1, now everybody says Philippians, you know, it's the book of joy. It's the book that Paul writes for the Philippian church, the church in Philippi. In fact, when he writes to Corinthians, he says, listen, you guys are being a little stingy, but the church in Philippi, they are generous, and they don't even have the money to be generous, but they're generous in a way that kind of confounds you. Well, Paul writes to them, and he says in chapter 1 and verse 27, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation that is from God. And so this is a really interesting passage, because if we know anything about the church at Philippi, or Philippi in general, Philippi was a Roman, essentially a Roman retirement colony. Mm-hmm. It was founded to ensure that Philippi would remain Roman. It would have Roman influence. It's a place that the Caesar propagated with retired Roman soldiers. So Philippi had Roman minted money. It was one of the places where if you were a citizen of Philippi, you enjoyed full rights as a Roman, which gave you rights that you wouldn't have had living anywhere else. To be Roman was powerful. If you remember in the book of Acts, you know, they're beating the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul says, I'm a Roman citizen. Mm-hmm. And the minute he says that, all of a sudden, the climate, the mood, the atmosphere suddenly changes, because he had rights that would not allow you to beat him the way that they were doing. So it's important to know that Philippi was this Roman colony. This was this place where it mattered to be a citizen. In fact, in the ancient Rome, to say I'm a citizen of Rome was to elevate suddenly your status to kind of, and I wouldn't say untouchable, but it would be to elevate your status to a very special place. You had special rights and abilities within the empire as a Roman citizen. You're thinking, gosh, why is he talking so much about being a Roman citizen? Mm-hmm. Well, because Philippi was this place where people prided themselves on being a citizen, on being a Roman citizen. And Paul writes and he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Some translations say, only let your conduct. Now, the manner, the word for manner here and the word for conduct that would be in there is actually translated in the Greek as to live as a citizen. So Paul is writing to these people who are in Philippi, who are citizens of the Roman Empire, who pride themselves upon being a citizen of the Roman Empire. And he writes to them and he says, don't forget that your citizenship is in heaven. Don't forget that you, though you may glory in the fact that you are a citizen in this earthly place, within this earthly kingdom, that you are actually, as followers of Jesus Christ, a citizen in a kingdom that never ends, a kingdom that cannot be bound or defined by this world. And so it's very powerful that Paul says, he ties their conduct, the manner of their life, how they live. He's saying, listen, stop living as just simply earthly citizens of a country or a colony, but instead understand that in Jesus Christ you are citizens in a kingdom. And Christ is the king of that kingdom. And you are brought into that kingdom by the gospel. Only let your life as a citizen, if I'm kind of translating the word, let your life as a citizen be worthy of the gospel of Christ, because that's how you gained your citizenship. So your response, your life, is supposed to be lived as a response to the gospel. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the bar and the standard in which you are to live your life. That's what Paul is writing to the Philippians to tell them. But amazingly, Paul is not just writing to the Philippians, because God's word transcends simply a time and a place. It's given to all of us. Now, it has a context, which is to the Philippians. But this letter then goes out to all of us who live as citizens in all kinds of places, who need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. And it's from there that we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we always live in light of the gospel and all that is happening. What I love, too, is that Paul is very forward with them, and he says, whether I come and see you or whether I'm absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. So really what Paul is kind of saying to them is he's saying, listen, I'm going to hear how you're living. I'm going to hear how you're living. Because your life in Christ should be having this kind of impact, that there are ripples that go out. That as you're generous and you're kind and you're forgiving and you're merciful and you're forbearing and you're long-suffering, I'm going to hear about that. You know why? Because people love to talk about things that make no sense. That's 99.9% of all the gossip we hear is like, can you believe this person did this? Can you believe this person did that? Can you believe this happened? And so imagine that in a place where everybody's priding themselves on being a Roman citizen, there are people who are living beyond that, and it has to be confounding. So you got to believe that Roman citizens are on the street corner going, can you believe those Christians? Can you believe that they sell some of their stuff and they give to the poor? Can you believe the way they feed and clothe? Can you believe they spend time with lepers? Can you believe that they forgive their enemies and actually pray for them? Can you believe it? And so Paul says, the confounding way you live in Christ is going to be a topic of conversation. And as that conversation spreads, I'm going to hear about it. And he says, just very gently, you got to think that this is almost like when you tell your kids, be good, because I'll find out what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know. You know, sometimes when my kids, I'll come in and I'll go, hey, why were you doing that? And they'll go, how did you even know we did that? Do you have like some kind of super sense? I'm like, no, I was your age once. I know the minute I leave the room what you want to do.
Right.
You know, it's kind of funny. Last night, my wife was, they were loading up lunches. And we've got these little chocolate teddy bears that my wife got from Aldi on clearance. And well, all they are is like little foil wrapped little teddy bear shaped chocolate. And so Samuel always says, can I have one of those in my lunch? So last night he says, can I help you make the lunches? She says, sure, help me make this. So they're making the lunches. I see him step away from the counter, and she goes, open your mouth. What's in your mouth? And he opens his mouth, and as he extends his tongue out, there's a little chocolate teddy bear on the end of his tongue. And he goes, Mama, you didn't even see me do it. And she goes, I knew you did it. And I think that that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, listen, I'm going to hear these ripples. I'm going to hear about what's happening. And when I hear about what's happening, what I want to hear is happening is that you are standing firm in one spirit. Hmm. That you have one mind and you are striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Now, listen, poetically, that sounds beautiful. The way the words are arranged, it sounds so wonderful. But how many of you, when you hear that, go, how do we do that? Mm-hmm. Wait a second, you mean you want us to be standing firm in one spirit, side by side, together, in agreement for the gospel? Mm. I mean, come. If that could happen, we wouldn't have 5,000 different denominations. We wouldn't have the myriad of different people that we have. Because this says, in one faith. So this is really hard to do. This is really hard to do. And what Paul is saying is listen, what I really want to hear is that you're listening together to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Now, why is that important? See, he says, standing firm in one spirit. And that means standing firm in what only the Spirit can do. The Spirit is the humble arm of the Trinity. What the Spirit's job is to do is to take you back to the cross and to remind you, to show you Jesus Christ, to remind you all that He's done. When Jesus was in the upper room and He was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, what did He say the Holy Spirit would do? He would remind you of everything that I have taught you. Why would He do? How would He do that? By bringing you back to Christ. Mm-hmm. He would be the pathway to show you the truth. What is the truth? The way, the truth, and the life? Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit continually brings us back to Jesus Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do in the midst of spiritual warfare? 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that the Spirit takes every thought captive and makes it obedient to Christ. So the Holy Spirit takes those thoughts that you have and it levels it up and against the work of Christ. The manner of your life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And so Paul is saying, what I want you guys to do is I don't simply want you to try and get along. I don't simply want you to try and do ministry together. I don't simply want you to stand shoulder to shoulder and try to pretend like you like the guy next to you. What I really want you to do is I want you to stand firm in the strength of the Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit can bind us together. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, because He leads us back to Christ, who brings us together, who makes us a family, who makes us one. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us back to Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ who in John 17 prays. And by the way, we don't have that many prayers that Jesus prayed captured in Scripture. We have very few of them. But when Jesus has the opportunity to pray and for Scripture to grab a hold of it so that we can read it plainly, Jesus prays for us. John 17 has this amazing prayer where He prays that, Father, that they would be one as You and I and the Spirit are one. And so Jesus prays for our unity together. And so when Paul says standing firm in the Spirit, he's saying that same Spirit that will bring you back to that John 17 prayer, the strength of my prayer that wants to knit us together, have us be like the Trinity together. So often I think what we do is we kind of, it's begrudging submission, right? We just get, well, okay, you know, I don't really like Mark, but gosh darn it, we're going to glorify the Lord together, you know? And we just try it. No. Standing firm in one spirit with one mind. What's that one mind? Later on in chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul's going to write about the mind of Christ. Have this amongst you, the mind of Christ, who humbled Himself, who became subservient to what God wanted Him to do. And so we're to have this one mind striving side by side for faith in the gospel, not just our faith simply, but as a testimony and witness to the faith that can be offered to others. Mm-hmm. See, our life is a witness. Our life is a testimony. So much of evangelism is kind of hedged on being able to say the right words, the gospel presentation. And I know many people who can articulate the gospel so well, except when it comes to their life. Mm. That they live kind of one way, and then they proclaim the gospel the other way. And listen, our lives and the gospel message should intersect. The quality of our lives, our citizenship, should reflect the gospel, a manner worthy of the gospel. That's the target for our life. The target is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where I want continually to be kind of launching my life towards and trying to live out of. Now, listen, none of us can do that. That's why we need the Spirit, because only the Spirit who keeps reminding us. I mean, gosh darn it, what does it look like that when you're facing that temptation, you want to lay it over to the Spirit who brings you to the cross and reminds you that that temptation has been conquered by Christ? Instead, what we want to do is we want to try and see if we can wrestle those things down alone and then wonder why it didn't work. It didn't work because the only one who could overcome sin and the separation between us and God was Christ. And so therefore, every sin that comes to take you over, and this is Hebrews, right? Every sin that comes to you, only Christ can take care of that. Mm-hmm. We can't, or we would have. And so we need to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the gospel. And then he says, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. There is nothing. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, listen, he had to be so frustrating, I have to think, for people. Because they would be like, we're going to beat you. Okay, well, you can beat me. And in my suffering, I'm going to proclaim Christ. We're going to lock you up. That's fine. I'm going to evangelize all the guards and the other prisoners. I'm going to sing hymns at midnight with Silas. Now, lock me up. We're going to let you go free. Great, I got lots of ministry to do. Mm-hmm. No matter what you did to the Apostle Paul, he's like, yeah, this is an opportunity to glorify Christ. Why? Because his target was continually the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he was launching himself towards that. Consistently. And so he says, listen, I'm not frightened by any of my opponents. You know why? Because my opponents are actually going to become those who strive side by side with me if they spend a long enough time around me. All those people that you don't like, if the quality of your life exudes the gospel, at some point those people who oppose you, maybe even just in their attitudes or the ways that they frustrate you, at some point they will become participants in the gospel also if your quality of life continually comes bearing Christ, bearing the invitation.
And couldn't those, if you will, those opponents or those people against you really be used of God to refine you, to bring out new character, dependence on Him? So kind of you could look at it as, I'm in a miserable situation. Instead of bailing, okay, God, you have me in this situation. You must want to do something or change me or have me become more compassionate or understanding or learn in this frustration to lean more heavily into Him.
Listen, we've been studying the book of Daniel. We're in the second chapter. In church on Sunday mornings, that's been our study. And one of the things I keep taking back away from the book of Daniel is Daniel is humble and Daniel is prayerful and Daniel is faithful. He wants to just follow God. And as Daniel does all of these things in the midst of pagan people, God keeps having those pagan people showing Daniel favor. God is at work in their lives too. Listen, the pagan who doesn't believe, God is still working in his life because God is sovereign in all things. God is still maneuvering their hearts. Listen, and if God can do that in the hearts of somebody who doesn't believe, imagine what God can do in the heart of somebody who does believe, who has the Holy Spirit, who strives side by side with one mind. And so we need to stop. I think that when Paul says, and be not and not frightened in anything by your opponents, I think that Paul is saying we need to look at our opponents differently. Maybe our opponents are not quite opponents, but instead they're opportunities. Opportunities for us to reflect the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. Our opponents may at some point become, through the gospel message and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, participants in the gospel. We don't know. God's at work in all of that stuff. But what we're at work in is how we bring the quality of our lives to others. While we bear our lives upon others, what is the gospel message of our lives? And I think that that's so important. As Paul said in the beginning of this, he said, listen, I get it. You're citizens of this wonderful place. For all the wonders that Philippi is, you could say that that's America. You know, where you've got special status, you've got rights and abilities that others people don't have, you've got freedoms and you enjoy things that others don't get to enjoy. But don't let your citizenship in that place become so important to you that you forget, as Christ followers, as his ambassadors, that you are citizens of a kingdom and a king that never ends. That though you may glory in your citizenship here, that you have a citizenship that you ought to glory in even more, because that kingdom, that citizenship, has the power to create other citizens, to bring others into that kingdom that never ends. And there'll come a time, friends, when we're no longer here. There'll come a time when we pass from this life into the next. And I don't know about you, but one of the things when I think about citizenship, I think about communities and neighborhoods. I want to build a neighborhood full of people who believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Build a community of people who believe in Jesus Christ. Build a community of people whose testimony is, at one time I was an opponent of Christ, and now I'm a participant. And friends, I think that that's a life lived worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
When you talked about the citizenship, I began thinking about, you know, it's not who we are or who we're citizens of, as much as it's great to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, but it's whose we are. Mm-hmm. And we're citizens because of whose we are, because God has called us to be a part of his kingdom work. And I'm thinking of the listener today that's going to go into their workplace, into their hobby, into their community, their neighborhood, with the friendships they meet up with. As far as whose they are, they're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're children of God, and what a great high calling. And then Our citizenship is secure, if you will, as we follow Jesus, as we surrender to him, our citizenship for an eternity with God in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That We're called to live out here.
Yeah, we are.
A high calling, a high citizenship, is as much as you might be an American or biblical times, you're all prideful about being that Roman citizen. Mm-hmm. How much more to be a citizen of the kingdom?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, God. I appreciate this book of Philippians. Recommend you read a portion or two today or throughout this weekend. I know many people have a habit of reading it over and over again.
It's on the bestseller list.
Yeah, that's right. Inspired by God, it's going to be timeless. You're going to get nuggets out of it for maybe the rest of your life. So seize the opportunity this weekend to be in a good Bible-believing church where they proclaim God's Word.
Amen.
And you read it and study it and memorize it and think about it, and join us back here again on Monday for Memorization Monday, Lord willing, with Roger Weisgarber. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.